Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Somebody get up and dance right now. Just get up and dance right now. Hey. Woo, glory. Amen. Woo. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Hey. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Don't sit there and think, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, how many of you know, you might not know what these are going through. Let me give you a little Bible verse. James 1:2. Count it all joy. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. And if you're new and you don't know what the rest of that verse says, it's not when grandpa dies and leaves you $100,000 or something. You can shout then, that's all right too. But count it all joy when you encounter various tests and trials. And then there's another verse that goes with that. I mean, I don't know if you've ever read this. 1 Peter 1, verse 8, whom having not seen you love, though now you see him not, yet believing you rejoice with joy unspeakable. But that's not the end of that verse. Joy unspeakable. And that joy is full of something. Anybody know it? Anybody know it? Joy unspeakable. Full of glory. Full of glory. So when you need to get full of the glory, you just get your joy cup out. Amen. The Bible says, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, let him come unto me and drink." You can just drink in the joy glory anytime you want. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Woo! Glory. Man. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We were preaching in, I want to say it was Charleston, Illinois, and the building just started getting, how many of you know you can sense the presence of God in meetings? You can sense, you know, and we just got full. There was a series of meetings, I don't remember how many services, but the pastor, well, I won't take time to explain all that, but the meetings just got fuller and fuller and fuller, just fuller. I mean, we'd get in one service and the anointing would rise, and then the next service we'd start there, you know, and it would rise, and the next service it just kept rising. And I'll never forget. I think it was the last night, but a lady came down. She had, I didn't know, it just basically was a blessing line. Laying hands on people to just get full, just get filled. And she came down. I didn't, I'm a visitor. I'm a guest speaker. Never had been to this church. So I didn't know her, didn't know her husband, didn't know any of their story, anything. Young couple. And they came down, and she went out under the power, and if I remember right, him too. But she went out on the power, and they're just laying, and they were the ones that you don't get them up for the next round of people, Okay, there's another line. People need to come up. Get up. Forget these ones. These are drunk. So they were some of them. And she rolled this way, laughing, rolled this way, laughing, and then rolled up here laughing, rolled back laughing. And I was rejoicing in the blessing she was getting, but I didn't know the story. A year later, we came back, and they had a little boy, little baby. And they said, we want to tell you the story. They made his middle name Jay. Yeah, I know. And they said, what you didn't understand, because remember that we were up there rolling, I said, oh yeah, I remember. That we had been married, I don't remember how long they'd been married, a year or 2 years or something. And they had never consummated the marriage because she had been sexually abused when she was younger or something like that. Every time they go to consummate the marriage, she'd have flashbacks of that and just start screaming. Well, how many of you know? I'm not sure how long that's going to last or not going to work. I'm not accusing her. I'm just simply saying. So she was really struggling. Anyway, but well, they got drunk that night. And God broke that off of her. Broke it. Because one time she was laughing. Because I'm laying hands on some more people. But one time she rolled over and I'm here and she's right there and she looked up at me and she goes, ah! And she said, I'm free. She just started laughing. I didn't know what that, I just agreed with her, But how many of you can see she really got set free? Glory to God. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. That's what the anointing will do. The anointing destroys the yoke. Praise God. There's no yoke, no bondage too strong for this anointing to destroy it. Praise God. Amen, amen. Just give God some thanks tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. God can do more in 5 seconds or just a short period of time than we can in a lifetime. I don't know if that lady had been to counseling or anything. I didn't get into all that, didn't ask that question, but I don't, if she could have gone to counseling for years and not had and gotten what the anointing did in just a few minutes, just breaking the yokes of bondage. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. The Lord just spoke something to me. Somebody in this course of this meeting, there's something, and I don't even have revelation of what it is. You remember, the Bible calls it word of knowledge. A word is not a sentence, it's just a portion. And so you don't know everything, you know a portion. But it just came into my spirit right there. By the end of this meeting, somebody, something that's been tracking somebody's life, and you can see it back through your family, even track back through your in generations past and up till present, you know. I don't know if it's disease. I don't know. I don't have revelation. But something that's been tracking your family by the end of this meeting is going to be gone. I don't know who that is, but let's just receive it. What do you say? We receive it. We receive it. The anointing, the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Amen. Amen. Well, you may be seated. Glory to God. Glory to God. Go to 1 Corinthians 2 and verse number. We'll start in verse number 6. 1 Corinthians 2, verse number 6. Years ago, one of the things that we preached on the road a lot, for a season there, it switched later, but for a season we preached a lot on the glory of God. And I'm telling you, you start preaching on something, it starts showing up. And, you know, faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. Bible said signs follow the word. If you want something, preach on it. And I tell you, I want the glory of God. I believe God has a purpose for leading us to talk about this, because he did. He definitely led us. The Lord said to me one time back in, I think it was June of 2018, he said, the manifestation of the glory, we'll talk about what that is. But the manifestation of the glory is the last frontier of the church. He said it's where fullness is. Fullness of all these things of the Spirit, all these moves of the Spirit, all these manifestations we see in the Word. I mean, there's a lot of things in the book of Acts we haven't seen in our day. How many of you know we see healings? We see signs along that line. We see utterances, gifts of the Spirit, you know. We see revelation gifts. We see some of the things that we see in the book of Acts. But there's things in the book of Acts we haven't even seen. And the Bible said in James that it's going to be greater in the end of the move of the Spirit is going to be greater in the end of the church age than at the beginning. Well, I mean, to have more and greater, we're going to at least have the book of Acts plus. I mean, just think about it. Angels showing up and busting doors all open and getting people out of prison and translations. Philip was in one place. All of a sudden, he shows up in another place. Amen. Just a whole lot of phenomenon. Building shaking because of the glory of God. because that's what filled the, remember Acts 16, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises and the earthquake, you remember. That wasn't a literal earthquake. No record of any other building shaking or anything like that. Besides that, I mean, chains falling off. Earthquakes don't shake chains off people's hands. This is the glory of God. And I know years ago, Dad Hagin was in a meeting. They had satellite seminars for a while, and he had this seminar, and he was talking about the glory of God. And churches all over, I guess maybe all over the world, but all over the United States and Canada maybe, they could tune in by getting a certain, I don't know, certain frequency. I don't know how that all works. Some, you had to have one of those big old satellite dishes, remember the big old things, and you had to get, you download, Rhema would shoot it up to a satellite, you know how that works. And so, but there was a church in Wichita, Kansas. We preached there. Good friends, wonderful pastors. He'd been a hungry for the move of the Spirit for decades. Actually, when Dr. Frayne was here, he'd come here to the meetings. But Pastor Jerry Burley, and he and his wife, Blessings. But he said, he wrote in, Brother Hagin wrote a letter to Brother Hagin about it, and included a, whatever you call it, a verification of some kind, some sort of documentation from the fire department that it actually happened. Because they're in there, Brother Hagin's holding a conference about the glory, and he's talking about the glory of God in different manifestations, how it appeared in the book of Acts, and but throughout the Bible and so forth. And this meeting, this church in Wichita, they're watching by the satellite, and all of a sudden they hear fire sirens. And they just thought, well, you know, they're going to a fire somewhere, except they stopped in front of their church building and came running in. And so the pastor went back and he said, okay, what's going on? He said, they reported a fire here. Somebody, the neighbors called and said, there's fire on top of your building. There's smoke coming out of your building. Well, they went outside and looked, and there's nothing up there. And there's no real fire, you know. And so the you know, the fire department, but that pastor wrote Brother Hagin and included the documentation from the fire department, you know. I don't remember if the fire department saw it or not. I don't remember that, but the neighbors saw it. Hallelujah. Well, that's the glory of God. Remember the day of Pentecost? There appeared cloven tongues like a fire and set on each one of them. Another pastor one time was in a meeting, and the Spirit of God started moving. This is some Rhema pastors. Actually, no, I take it back. It was a prayer meeting, and they were praying in the Spirit, and some of them are walking around. Some of them are just kneeling. Some of them are laying on the floor and looking up, and some of them that were laying on the floor opened their eyes, and they said over the whole ceiling of the building where they were praying, these people started seeing, it's on fire. It's on fire. And they jumped up, and they started, it's fire, fire. They started screaming out, fire, fire. And everybody looked up, and everybody saw it. Everybody in the auditorium saw it. And they all ran out because they weren't sure what it was. And they called the fire department, except nothing's burning. Hallelujah. That's a sign. Sign of the manifest presence of God. Amen. Praise God. We were down in... I don't remember which trip to Mexico it was. Brother Juan, were you there when that glory came in? What city was that?
Campeche.
We were down there with Dr. Dufresne, and I don't know, 20 ministers or however many ministers went, 20 plus ministers with him, probably 2011 or somewhere back there, 10, 11. Dr. Dufresne was preaching. He had some of us preach in different services, but one night he was preaching. I don't know. 500 or more people in that building, you think? Something like that? 800? Yeah. And so, Dr. Dufresne, we're all us ministers are on the front row. Of course, Dr. Dufresne's up here preaching. And I'm sitting there about where Brother Carlos is, and I'm watching Dr. Dufresne preach. He's moving, and he'd move over here, and I'd look behind him, and it's like, what is that? And Brother Dr. Frayne would move over here. You know how you move around when you preach. And I just kept glancing over there, and I kept noticing it's getting thicker. And from that corner of the building, that's where I saw it coming in. I saw the glory of God just rolling in. And it filled that whole auditorium. Now, usually the glory of God is manifest in the spirit realm, and God opens people's eyes to see into that realm. This night, every person in the building saw it. Sinner, backslider, everybody. It rolled into the building, and it was, I would say, about half as thick as a thick rain cloud. You could see a little bit. You can see a little distance, but it just rolled in and filled that whole auditorium. And ministers, some of the Mexican people that were sort of in charge, some of the ministers, they ran to the kitchen to try to find out what they're burning. Because there's a little kitchen on one side. You remember that? They were cooking for us, making us food. And they were in there, and nothing's burning. And it didn't smell like anything's burning. It didn't smell like a wood fire or anything, any stove burning or anything like that. You couldn't smell like that. But it was just thick. I mean, it was in the natural realm. It didn't just appear and God show you, your eyes open in the spirit realm and see it. It was in the natural realm. Every person, and they talked about it. All those pastors, I'm talking about the Mexican pastors and ministers, all of them talked about it. They, in fact, a lot of them didn't know what it was. But it was the glory of God. What was that? That's a sign. That's a sign.
Amen.
And then God's wanting to do some of this more and more and more in our day. You say, well, for our sake? Well, really for the world's sake. For the unsaved. Amen. And so the Lord really put it on my heart to talk about this and really build our faith for it. Because, you know, if it wasn't for understanding from the Word of God, some of us wouldn't be prone to receive it when it starts manifesting. People won't know what it is. Like this one Rhema pastor, actually that one that saw the, you know, fire on the ceiling when they were praying. He actually, I don't know if he called or wrote Brother Hagin, one of the two, I think he called him. And he said, Brother Hagin, I just wanted to, in case this got out, you know, I didn't want to think we're fanatics or something because, you know, we don't want to be off or anything. Is this all right? Is this? And Brother Hagin laughed. Yeah. He said, yeah, sure, of course. This is the glory of God.
Amen.
And appeared it all through the Bible. Amen. It's kind of surprising to me that a Rhema pastor was that. Anyway, I was going to say dumb, but anyway, that's, thank God he got educated. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So if the fire department shows up, you know, just don't get all concerned. The work of redemption, 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 8, talks about the wisdom of God that we speak among them that are perfect, but not the wisdom of this world or the princes of this world that come to naught. That means nothing. One translation says, doomed, reduced to nothing and doomed to pass away. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which is, of course, the plan of redemption, which God ordained before the world under our glory. This other translation, it says, God, the plan of redemption was God's plan marked off to bring us back to the glory. That's what man lost. God, man was created as a glorified being. He was clothed with the glory. Man sinned, came short of the glory of God, and remember, God put they put clothes on themselves, and God gave them other clothes, and they knew they were naked. That's the first time, because they had been clothed before that. They were not clothed with animal skins or fig leaves. They were clothed with the glory of God, because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man used to walk around in the glory of God. Man lost that. Sin, all have sinned, come short of the glory of God. But see, redemption redeemed us from sin, which enabled God to bring us back to the glory.
Yeah.
Amen. So I wanted you to see that verse. That's kind of our keynote verse for this conference. But if you read, and I'm just going to give you some scriptures. I don't know if we're going to go to all these. Acts 7:2 calls God the God of glory. Ephesians 1:17. I'm going to go through this a little quick here. Ephesians 1:17 says God's the Father of glory. James 2:1 and 1 Corinthians 2:8 here, we just read it, calls Jesus the Lord of glory. Excuse me, we read verse 7, but verse 8, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. That's Jesus. Amen. He's the Lord of glory. Now, the glory had been Israel's assignment. Romans 9:4, I believe. I'll look at it while I'm talking. But and remember, God gave them the glory of God. Remember, they were, whenever they built a tabernacle, actually when they came out of Egypt, the fire of God, the glory of God, stood between, remember whenever they were delivered from Egypt, it stood between Israel and Egypt that night, because remember the Red Sea had them hemmed in and they couldn't get out. Amen. I mean, they couldn't get away from the Egyptians. And so the Red Sea had them hemmed in, but the fire, pillar of fire, came and stood between Egypt and Israel and Egypt all that night. So Egypt couldn't, the Egyptian army couldn't get through to get to them. And from then on, that glory would manifest throughout their journeys. Yeah. Then they got in there and they built that tabernacle. And remember, they sanctified it and the glory came. Yeah. And like a pillar of fire over the tabernacle. They called it, if you look up the Greek, excuse me, the Hebrew, it's the Shekinah.
Yeah, that's right.
Shekinah. Amen. I just say that word and I get blessed. Shekinah. And so then they eventually got into the, you know, Canaan's land, built the temple, and that same Shekinah glory filled the house of God. They dedicated, Solomon dedicated, and the priests couldn't stand up to minister because the glory of God had filled the house of God. We'll look at some of this. But anyway, that was Israel's. Israel was given the glory of God, the manifest presence of God. And you can see that. This is in Romans 9:4. I'm going to just read the Amplified. He said, "For they are Israelites, and to them belongs God's adoption as a nation and the glorious presence, Shekinah." In other words, the Shekinah glory. The Israel was given the glory. Amen. No other nation on the earth had the manifest presence of God. Israel did. Amen. But you read through history, I mean, you read through the Bible. The Bible's got a lot of history in it. You read, you know, the book of Exodus, and the glory's there. And you read the book of, you know, Leviticus and so forth, all through whenever they dedicated the tabernacle and then the temple and so forth. And the glory of God appeared. You'd see different times. And then it was housed in the Holy of Holies. But then you read Ezekiel, and Ezekiel had a vision that angels came down and went into the Holy of Holies and picked the glory up and left with it.
Yeah.
Manifest presence of God left Israel because of sin. Amen. And then you remember when Jesus was crucified, the veil in the temple was rent in two from top to bottom. And that glory, what's that saying? The way into the presence of God is not it's not through the blood of animals anymore. And the presence of God isn't being housed in a building anymore. The manifest presence of God is the glory of God, the Shekinah presence of God. And so basically God, I guess angels or whatever, God stripped that or ripped that veil in the temple. They say that thing was real thick. It was woven out of, what was that, goat's hair or something like that? No man could have done that. And it didn't start from the bottom anyway. Man would have started from the bottom. God just top to bottom. In other words, the way into the holy presence of God is open for all. And it's not housed in a building anymore. Amen. We can see, it'll fill a building, but that's not because the building's the house anymore. It's because the people of God are in there worshiping God or whatever. So, I know some people don't like that. Well, Israel's, they're God's people. No, the church is God's people. How are you going to have the glory if you have rejected the Lord of glory? This verse, what do we got here? 2 Corinthians? 1 Corinthians is 2, verse 8, calls Jesus the Lord of glory. So does James 2:1. He's called in James 2:1 the Lord of glory. Well, if we've got the Lord of glory, then we've got the glory. Amen. And so Israel had been given that assignment to manifest God's glory to, to the earth. And to demonstrate the glory of God on the earth, but they lost it. I said they lost it. Now don't misunderstand me. Don't prophecy says that Jesus himself will come back and he will sit in the temple again, and the glory of the latter house shall be greater than of the former house. That's one of the definitions. That's one of the meanings of that. Not the only one. There's a lot of parallel truths in the Old Testament. When it says the glory of the latter house will be greater than the former, that also means the third temple, but it also means the glory of the church age will be greater than the former. And you read 2 Corinthians 3, just go home tonight and read that chapter, and you'll find that the glory in the New Testament excels the glory of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. It mentions it over and over again there in that the third chapter of 2 Corinthians. Amen? And so the glory, the Israel lost the glory, but the church got the glory. Now it's our assignment. We are the glorified church. He's washing us with the water of the word to make us a glorious church. Hallelujah. All right, so, really what we're saying is today the church, the body of Christ, when I say the church, I'm not just talking about our church, you understand, but the body of Christ is the theater of God's glory.
Amen.
This is where he manifests it. Amen? And so we've got to know who we are. We are the glorious, glorified church. And God's given his glory to us. In other words, the church is where he displays his glory. Hebrews 2:10 says, and you can write some of these down. I'm going to go through quite a few scriptures tonight. You won't be able to go to them all. Write them down if you'd like. You know, save yourself a lot of time trying to do it on your own. I'll do it for you. Hebrews 2:10 says Jesus brought many sons to glory. Hebrews 2:10. John 17:22, and the glory which thou gave, just Jesus praying here. Jesus in the garden praying. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Talking about us, that they might be one even as we are one. 1 Thessalonians 2:12. Write this down, but put a star by this one. That you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. You're called to this. You're called to the manifest presence of God. And we'll get into the definitions here in a bit. But 2 Thessalonians 2:14, put a star by that. And whenever you get done putting that star by it, then put a second star by it. 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you, talking about all of us. He's not talking about the call of the ministry here. He's talking about called to salvation. He's called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, that's what 1 Corinthians 2:8 said, 2:7, you know. It said there that we have been through the wisdom of God was his plan marked off to bring us back to the glory. Here it says it a little different way. Whereunto he called you by our gospel. Yeah. See, the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, right, and all the work of redemption and so forth and so on. Right. And so that's how he called, that's how we got back to the glory.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen.
Come on now.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 5:10, the God of all grace who has called you unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you've suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. Amen. So praise God. I believe God has a purpose for this conference. He wants us to talk about this because the church really doesn't understand much of this. I mean, if it showed up in church, they'd try to find out where the fire is. Amen. I believe this is the last frontier of the church. Between now and the coming of Jesus, you're going to hear many, many stories about the glory. Many, many stories. It's going to be commonplace. You know, in Azusa Street, and we'll talk about we'll talk about the revivals. There's always been some sort of demonstration in the revivals of history past, church history. And there's always been signs and wonders, certain things that accompanied it. In Azusa Street, most people don't know much about the Azusa Street revival, but the glory was almost a constant manifestation. They said it was usually about, you know, thigh deep, just all over the whole floor. And then whenever it rise, greater manifestations of the Spirit. I mean, people getting new body parts and stuff like that. They said it was almost constant. The glory just hung in that building for all that time. Praise God. They just got used to it. Children played in it. Played hide and seek in it. Hallelujah. See, we hear about that and we're like, oh. Well, see, I mean, that's what God wants to do all the time. It's a sign. I said it's a sign. I believe it's the last frontier of the church. And I believe he wants to do some more of these things. So we're going to share with you from the scriptures and from our own experience about some of these things. We don't base any doctrine on our own experience, but you're going to see a lot in the Word of God. And, you know, God's the same God today as he always has been. He's still the God of glory. Still the God of glory. And so we need to understand it a little bit more, I believe. Now, the glory of God is, like I said, it's a sign of his presence. You don't have to see it for his presence to be in our midst. Remember, he said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Amen. And so his presence is here, whether we see this or not. See this. We're going to read about it and see what it looks like. But But you do have to, you don't have to see it to believe it. Actually, Jesus said it's the other way around. He said, if you'd believe, you'd see the glory of God. That's John 11, verse number 40. If you believe, you'd see the... People want to say, they want to see and then believe. Well, God's going to do some of this to get some people's attention. But see, believers don't have to see to believe. The anointing can be in the building and you can feel it sometimes. I mean, we're not walking by feelings, but I mean, it's the anointing is a tangible substance. It's not just a doctrine or a theory or, you know, it has a substance. It has a materiality to it. And it can be actually every believer, every child of God, every born again child of God has the anointing on the inside of them. You are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells. He said, know ye not that your body is the temple of God. And the Spirit of God dwells in you. 1 John 2:27, the anointing you've received of him abides in you. You don't need any man to teach you. So every believer has an inward anointing. The Spirit of God has taken up residency in their spirit. And then in the baptism of the Holy Ghost comes upon believers. And then in ministry, there's certain anointings and equipment that goes along for different ministries, stand in that office, so forth and so on. We're not going to get into all that. But then there's an extra read all about it in the Bible called the corporate anointing. It's none of the ones I just described. It's not the individual anointing, which is what goes with you. You're born again. He lives on the inside of you. It's not the baptism of the Holy Ghost that we're talking about when we talk about the glory of God. We're not talking about the ministry anointing when we talk about the glory of God. We're talking about modern ministers have coined it, and I like it. I think it's appropriate. It's the corporate anointing.
Yeah.
It's not in a believer or on an individual believer. It's in the atmosphere.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. In the atmosphere. And it's the presence of God. It is the Holy Spirit. God raised Jesus from the dead by the glory of the Father, Romans 6:4. But then Romans 8, what is it, verse 11, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. He'll quicken your mortal body. The Spirit raised Christ from the dead in John 8:11. And then John 6:4, then the glory raised Jesus from the dead. Well, which one is it? It's the Spirit is the glory. The glory is the Spirit. It's the Holy Spirit, the presence of the Holy Spirit in a corporate way. Remember, Jesus didn't say, two or three gathered together, there am I inside of them, although now he is on the inside of us. But he said, there am I in the midst of them. We've emphasized the inward residency of the presence of God to get people to look in the right place for answers and so forth, and we need to do that. But that doesn't do away with the fact that he will come in our midst sometimes in a corporate way and manifest himself. And sometimes, we'll see from different verses we'll read, sometimes that presence can be seen. It can get thick and be seen. Amen? I believe God wants to do more of this. Hallelujah. Praise God. So it's a sign of his presence. We don't have to see it to believe it. It's here many times when we don't see it, but sometimes God wants to do some signs. Amen. I said hallelujah. It's mentioned all through the Bible. It's the manifest presence of God. It's the corporate anointing. It's his presence filling the very atmosphere in a manifest fashion. Talks about it over and over in the Bible. It appeared on Mount Sinai. It appeared on Moses' face. It appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration. It appeared at the dedication of the temple and the tabernacle. When Saul was struck down on the road to Damascus, it would have appeared on that road. It appeared as cloven tongues of fire on the day of Pentecost. It appeared when Stephen was being stoned. He looked up and said, I see the glory of God and Jesus at the right hand of God. Amen. It appeared when Jesus was caught up. They saw Jesus in a cloud, received him out of their sight. Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
It appeared in the Old Testament, a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And so let's look at some references. Leviticus 9:23. You might not be able to go to these as fast as I'm going to read them. But just so you don't think this is a one-time thing in the Bible, or maybe even 7 or 15 or 20 or 25 or even 30. You just get a concordance and look up the word, just put in the word glory and see how many times it comes up. It'll be hundreds. So I'm just picking out a few. We don't have time to go to all of them. But Leviticus 9:23, Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of the congregation and came out and blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the people. I want you to see that. The glory appeared. It appeared. Numbers 14:10, all the congregation bade stone them with stones. And the glory of this, remember when they came back, the 12 spies, and two gave a good report. They wanted to stone them with stones. And the glory of the Lord appeared in the tabernacle of the congregation before all the children of Israel. In other words, I wouldn't stone them if I were you. Say it appeared. Numbers 16:19, Korah gathered all the congregation against them. This is an uprising, a rebellion against Moses and Aaron. This is Korah gathered all the congregation against Moses and Aaron under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And if you read the rest of that, God said, you better not. Basically, I'll paraphrase, you better not. Numbers 16:42. Came to pass when the congregation was gathered against Moses and against Aaron that they looked toward the tabernacle of the congregation, and behold, the cloud, notice that term, covered it. And what was that cloud? The glory of the Lord appeared. If you read some of these we just read right there, this is God protecting his people. Yes. And his leaders. Yes. People were gathered together in a rebellion and the glory of God showed up. That's going to happen in our day. Numbers 20, verse number 6. Moses and Aaron went from the presence of the assembly under the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and they fell upon their faces, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto them. I keep emphasizing appeared, because this is something you can see. It's not something you just sense. You can sense it. But here's something that appears. And he called it a cloud. And I want you to notice that Moses and Aaron fell upon their faces. They fell under that power. 2 Chronicles 5:13-14. This is the dedication of the temple. Came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound, to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord, when they lifted up their voices, or their voice with the trumpet and singers, trumpets and cymbals and the instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. That the house was filled with a cloud. That's the second reference to a cloud. Even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister. That means they fell. By reason of the cloud, for the glory, well, that's what that is. That cloud is the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Whew, glory be to God. Hallelujah. You can see some keys to the glory right there. Unity, they were in one accord, worshiping God. Let's look at 2 Chronicles 7:1-3. Solomon made an end of praying, and fire came down from heaven. So there's another word we haven't seen yet. Fire. And consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. And the priests could not enter. Before up there in chapter 5, this is chapter 7, but in chapter 5, they couldn't stand. In this case... the glory of God got in there before they got in there. And they couldn't get in. The priests could not enter into the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house of the Lord. And when all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord upon the house. See, that's what happened to that church in Wichita. It was upon the house. They bowed themselves with their faces to the ground upon the pavement and worshiped and praised the Lord, saying, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Now, that's one of the things you'll see start to happen when the glory starts manifesting. Reverence. I said reverence. Amen. Amen. It said when this appeared, that they, the people there bowed themselves with their faces to the ground and they worshiped. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I want you to notice that could not enter. They couldn't get in the building. You remember Brother Hagin telling the story whenever he was, whenever he actually died. He said to his brother, they had somebody there all the time with him. And he had already, died once. Remember, he was starting going down to hell and a voice said something. He didn't even understand what it said, but he came back up out of there. And up out of on the way up out, he started calling on the name of Jesus, get saved. And so, but that was like 6 months before or something like that. Maybe, no, it was a little more than that before that. But then there's another time he's saved now and he's dying. His brother, little brother there, is they always had somebody with him, his little brother there. And Brother Hagin since he's dying, and he said, go call mama, call grandma. I want to say goodbye, I'm dying. And his little brother ran out of the bedroom. And Brother Hagin said whenever he did, that the room filled up with a cloud. Filled up with the glory of God. He didn't know back then what it was, but it was the glory of God. And he said whenever that cloud filled the room, the bedroom there, he said he all of a sudden he went up, left his body, went up. He said he got up to about where the house roof was. And he said a voice from heaven said, go back, go back, go back. Your time on earth's not done. Remember that? And he started to descend. And he came back straight down, feet first, and to the foot of the bed, he said just for a split second, he could see his body. And he's out of his body, but he can see his body. And for a split second, he's standing at the foot of the bed, and then he went back into his body. Amen. And whenever he did, he could contact this world, and he opened his eyes, and his mama's there holding his hands, or his hand. And he leaned over to her and said, I'm not going to die now. Mama, I'm not going to die now. She thought he meant just right now, you know, this today or whatever, but he meant no, I'm going to live now and live on, fulfill the plan of God. Hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Well, Brother Hagin said that was so sacred he didn't tell that story for years. I think he said 20 years. It's just too sacred, too holy. And but said one time the Lord started telling him, start tell it. And so he was preaching and he went on the radio with it, told it on the radio, and his mom heard that on the radio. And it wasn't too many days later, he's talking to his mom, and his mom said, now, I heard you on the radio telling your story about when you died. And he said, yeah. She said, you make it sound like it was just maybe a few, maybe not even a minute, just a few seconds. Just went up. Yeah, he said, that's about right. She said, well, I never told you my side of the story. You know, these things are sacred, and they didn't talk about it. But she said, his brother, Pat, I believe, ran out to mama, you know, come, Ken's dying. And so they went to go in, and his mom got to the door, and it was full of a cloud. And so she just backed off, and grandma didn't see it. She just was walking in without looking up, and she bounced off the cloud. The door was open. It'd be like that door being open, and she tried to go through the door and bounced off of that cloud. Remember Brother Hagin said she backed up and ran at it again, and I think three times tried and bounced off like a rubber ball, and the last time that glory got on her, and she's hanging on to the door facing trying to stand up, and she hung on there, he said, for about 10 minutes. He said it was about 10 minutes. That's what his mom said. You said it was just a few seconds, but it was actually 10, I think 12 minutes or something like that. And finally it started dissipating out of the room, and his grandma said, well, it's lifted now. And so they went in, and mom went over and got Ken's hand. Ken, I mean, his name was Ken back then, and Brother Hagin's hand. And she, and all of a sudden about that time he turned over and looked at her. She thought he's dead, turned over and looked at her and said, mom, I'm not going to die now. But what I wanted you to see was they couldn't get in. They couldn't get in. That's what it said right here. They couldn't get in that building.
Yeah. Yeah.
Woo, glory. Glory. Hallelujah. I think the devil's not going to be able to get in. That's what I think. Praise the Lord. Psalm 63, 1 through 3. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. And my flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. What's he longing for? To see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Whew, glory be to God. That's what he was hungry for. He's hungry for the presence of God. He's hungry for the manifest presence of God. I've had that hunger for a long time, the manifest presence of God. Amen. And I desire to bring this congregation further. See, we've come a long ways in the things of the Spirit. Praise God. We've been progressing. You can find in the Bible, we're supposed to be going from glory to glory. Glory to glory. More and more of God's manifest presence. You know, like here, and you know, what different times, different people say something about it. The latest time was whenever we had the Easter celebration, and we had a lot of guests. People were commenting, daycare parents, daycare visitors, and they come and talk to the daycare workers and so forth, and they said, "Man, that was something else." Well, it wasn't us as human. We aren't something else. That's not what they're talking about. They're talking about, there's something about that church. There's something. See, they don't know what it is, but it's the presence of God. Hallelujah. But that can get thicker and thicker and thicker to where you can't get in here unless, let's say, Brother Hagin told a story one time. He said he was preaching along. He said this happened several times. He's preaching along, and he said all of a sudden while he's preaching, he said a light flashed in the building. He said this happened a couple times. Just flashed in the building. And he said, you know, like it's the old days, especially, not so much today, but those light, remember the newspaper guys that had that light bulb that actually a burnout, they had to put a new one in. That thing would just flash and you couldn't see anything for a split second or so. And Brother Hagin said it was like that, only it took you a couple of seconds to see. He said, just something flashed in the building. He said, wow, he's preaching, that just went off. And he said, whenever you could see again, he said, every sinner in the auditorium was in the altar praying. He said, every backslider was in the altar praying. He said, every sick person in the building was healed. Every person in the building that was not filled with the Spirit was sitting there speaking in other tongues. And he said, because people in the auditorium, I mean, they were seated in the auditorium, said later, they said, well, that man that was up there at the altar was sitting by me. Why? And when that flashed, it was only a second or two, a couple seconds. He couldn't have got down there that fast. And you know, if somebody's, I don't know how wide the aisles were in front of your knees, but if somebody went past you, more than likely they're going to bump you, or you feel that, you know. And he said, well, the people in the auditorium said, well, he's sitting by me, but he didn't come by me. You know, well, and so, you say, what was that? Well, remember that bright light shine from heaven whenever Saul, was on, his name was changed to Paul, was on the road to Damascus. That's probably the same thing. Hallelujah. A fireball exploded in the room. But see, I don't know how they got down there. I mean, you know, I guess they were translated down there. Glory to God. These are the things God wants to do in this day. There was a Brother Hagin told another story. He said he's preaching. I think this was out in, don't quote me, I think it was Phoenix or somewhere out west out there in a church. And he said he was given the altar call. And he said, you know, of course, he's on the platform looking at the congregation. The doors, they had six sections of seats. It was a bigger auditorium. Six sections of seats in all these aisles. And he said there was doors at the end of each aisle. And he said he's given the altar call and inviting people to come get saved. And he said, while he's giving the altar call, one of those sets of doors flew open. And he said, a man came through the door looking wild. Looking wild. I mean, he's looking around. He's just wild. And he didn't know. He first looked at him. He didn't know if he was on dope or, you know, high or drunk or something. Like just a wild-looking guy. And he came down the aisle. And they were singing at this time. And, you know, sing that again while they're singing. Come to the altar. And Brother Hagin said, that man just looked around just, you know, wild. Like, and he came down the aisle, and he came over where Brother Hagin was and said, What are you doing here? He said, we're having a church service. He said, I want to get saved.
Yeah.
He said, well, you've come to the right place.
Yeah.
He said, I grew up in church. I got away from God. He said, and I was walking down the street two blocks away. And he said, something appeared up, the fireball up in the sky. He said, I looked up and it was like a, I thought the clouds had parted and it was nighttime. I thought the clouds had parted and the moon had come out. Except he said he just didn't mind much business except the thing come down and three feet over his head. He said he about knocked him witless. That's why he's so wild looking. He said that fireball started moving. And he just let it move for a while and he wondered where it was going, so he's just watching it. And then it turned and went down this street. So he turned and went down this street. And that fireball, he said, that fireball came in the back door of the church. He said, so I followed it in, and then came through the second doors. And whenever I opened that door, I couldn't see it anymore. That's why he's looking around wild like this. He said, I need to get saved. I need to get saved. Glory to God. So, what is that? That's the glory of God. We're in for a show, I'll tell you. We're in for a show. Praise be to God. Thank God, thank God. Well, the glory, I mean, you know, leading people like that. Well, it led the children of Israel through the wilderness for 40 years. 40 years. It can lead people right into the right church. See, hallelujah. I don't need to say anymore. Praise be to God. I said, praise be to God. I'm hungry. Psalm 73:24. Thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterwards receive me to glory. Now here he's talking about after this life. You know, receive us into glory. In other words, what he's saying there is, receive me into the glory world. Afterwards, after this life, you know, for Christians, when we leave here, we're going up. We're leaving here, and we're going up into the glory world. That's where Brother Hagin was going whenever that glory filled his room. But a voice said, no, go back. Your work on earth's not done. So, but that's where all of us, that's not going to just happen. That didn't just happen for Brother Hagin. Whenever you leave this earth, you will step over into the glory of God. And listen, anybody, Brother Hagin described it. He said, whenever he died there and went up, he said, such peace and tranquility. He said, I can't even describe it. Hallelujah. Thank God for the glory world. Isaiah 61:2. Arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. We're seeing that getting thicker and thicker out there. But, that's for them, not us. The Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. That's the day we're living in right now. Darker and darker in the world. See, what happens out in the world is directly opposite of what's happening in the church in the last days. Remember, evil men and seducers are waxed worse and worse. But he said the church is going to go from glory to glory. Remember, I said Israel had the assignment to take the glory to the world, to the other nations, and all nations. God really, excuse me, wanted them to be a, the Bible said he wanted them to be a kingdom of priests. Whole nation of priests. In other words, they were to bring these other nations into the presence of God. Of course, they didn't succeed in their assignment. And they lost the glory of God. Actually, you study the history. I've got a whole set of notes that I'm not even going to preach. It's probably, these notes are 15 pages long. No, I think it's 15 pages. The other notes are about 20. It's story of the glory all through the Bible, all the way back from Adam and Eve, all through the Bible, and how Israel lost it and God. And actually, whenever God gave it, it was the strongest at the beginning when he gave it in Israel, but it diminished from then on and started getting weaker and weaker, and finally in Ezekiel it left in the Holy of Holies. But in the church age, You read 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, you read the whole chapter. Y'all just read that. It keeps talking about the glory that excelleth. The glory that exceeds the Old Testament glory. And you read down through there. And then it says, there at the end, we go from glory to glory. In other words, in the church age, it started out at one degree, and it's going to get stronger and stronger. Now, yeah, there were some dark ages where it was lost a lot, but it's going to get stronger. From then on out till Jesus comes, it's going to get stronger and stronger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And listen, you're going to hear stories and more stories of translations.
Yes.
You're going to hear more. That's in the glory. You're going to hear more stories of dreams and visions.
Yes.
Amen. I mean, you see a lot of these accounts here. We're going to read. And out of the glory stepped an angel.
Yeah.
Or out of the glory stepped Jesus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Anyway, just get ready for it. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. All right, let's read the next one. So, that's Isaiah 61 and 2. Now, Ezekiel 1:28, as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud. Look at those terms, appearance of the bow, as in the cloud. In the day of rain. You know, he's talking about the rainbow. In fact, if you read the book of Revelation, he's going to describe this as the glory of the Lord here in a minute. But he said in the book of Revelation that behind the throne or over the throne is a rainbow. You read that in the book of Revelation. And that glory is there, the glory of God, and there's a rainbow. But notice he said, as the appearance of the bow as that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. So there's another word, brightness. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. See, now he tells us what that is. So we've got the word cloud and we've got the word brightness, don't we? So it's a bright cloud. And when I saw it, I fell on my face. And I heard a voice of one that spake. There's the second time we've heard where a voice came out of that cloud. So one again fell on his face. That's Ezekiel 1:28. Ezekiel 3:23. Then I arose and went forth into the plain, and behold, the glory of the Lord stood there, and as the glory which I saw by the river Kebar, and I fell on my face. Amen. Ezekiel 10:4. It talks about. I'll just read 10:4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub, and stood over the threshold of the house. And the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. So now we've got a little bit more information about this cloud. It's a bright cloud. Ezekiel 44:4 is another one. I won't read that one. Just he said he mentioned there the glory, and he fell on his face. We've been reading that. All right, let's come over into the New Testament. Matthew 17. You still with me tonight? We'll read verses 2 and 5. Matthew 17, 2 and 5. And was transfigured. This is up on the Mount of Transfiguration. When Jesus was up there, remember, he took Peter, James, and John, went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and he was praying. And his face, it says in the Matthew 17:2, he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Remember that happened to Moses. He had to put a veil over his face. He spent 40 days in the glory, came down, and his face was shining. This is what happened on Mount Transfiguration. Jesus' face shone as the sun. That's bright, isn't it?
Yes.
And his raiment, now notice, here's some other descriptions of this, was white as the light. In other words, it was just like light coming out of it. That's verse number 2. Verse 5, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud. So we've got that term there again, bright cloud, overshadowed them. And behold, the voice out of the cloud, which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Amen. Amen. Now, Matthew's account we just read, but Luke gives a record of this. Luke 9:29 through 34. Luke 9:29 through 34. As he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment, now notice this, was white and glistening. Every time I hear that word glistening, I think of the sun shining on snow in the wintertime. You ever seen that? Just, I mean, you got to wear sunglasses. It's just too bright. Just too bright. It's just radiant. It's like it sparkles. And he said his raiment was that way. This was the glory of God. His raiment was that way, white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, Moses and Elijah, Elias. They appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. When they were awake, they saw his glory. Say, saw. And the two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto him, or unto Jesus, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias, not knowing what to say. I mean, when you don't know what to say, just don't say anything. While he thus spake, there came a cloud and overshadowed them, and they feared as they entered into that cloud. And you remember, that voice came out of that cloud. This is my beloved son, hear ye him. In other words, Peter, shut up. That's what he's saying. Luke 2:9. You ain't got nothing to say. You don't know what you're talking about. Luke 2:9. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. How many of you know we all read that at Christmas time? Whenever the angels came down and said to the shepherds, Jesus was born, so forth. Luke 2:9. The glory of the Lord shone. That glory transported them down here. Amen. Acts 7:2. This is Stephen. He was he's preaching. He said, men and brethren, father, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia. That's the God of glory we were talking about. Stephen was being stoned later, and he looked up into heaven, and he said, I see the glory of God. Amen. So he started out his sermon preaching on the glory and ended up seeing the glory. Maybe if we'd preach more on it, there'd be more of it. Hallelujah. He's the God of glory. He's the Father of glory. Acts 7:55. That's whenever he said he was full of the Holy Ghost and steadfastly looked up in heaven's eyes. See the glory of God. That's Stephen. Romans 6:4. That's the verse that talks about Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. The glory of God came on Jesus' body and his spirit and raised him from the dead. Acts 9:3-4. Acts 9:3-4. As he journeyed, this is Saul, his name was changed to Paul. He came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined, there's that word shine, round about him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 22:6-7, he talked about it. Came to pass, Acts 22:6-7, he talked about this experience when he was before the king. On trial, came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus, about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light. About noon, that's the highest, I mean, it's bright out at noon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they said a light shine. I mean, so this is brighter than any sun. About noon, this light shone from heaven, a great light, round about me, and I fell upon the ground. People wonder about this falling under the power. We've seen it over and over again. And heard a voice, we've seen that many times, saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Acts 26:14, he recounts it again. And when we were all fallen to the earth. So Paul didn't just fall to the earth, all the company that was with him. So notice these terms, cloud, brightness, fire, smoke, shined, light, bright light, white, bright, shone, glistening, shined as the sun. And people saw it, they fell, and they couldn't stand up to minister, or they couldn't enter into the building.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, whenever the natural comes in contact with the supernatural is going to win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God. So it's the manifestation of the divine presence, isn't it? And look, it's a sign of the presence of God. We were saying that. And it's a sign that God is at work among his people. And it's also a sign saying that we are his people. And don't touch us. Amen. It's a sign that God is carrying out his purpose. It's an outward demonstration of this presence and the power of God. Amen. I mean, very often we're conscious of it, whether we see it or not. But these verses say it can be seen. Now, what's the purpose of all this? Well, you see, sinners are spiritually dead. They're separate from God. So God really can't contact them from the inside. But he loves them, and he wants to get their attention, and he wants to do these kinds of things. There's other things in the Bible, but he wants to do these kinds of things as signs to get their attention. You know, he's going to get to them through the word, preaching the word. Some will hear the word, and you know, their hearts will be melted by it, and they recognize their need of salvation and so forth, and they'll respond to the word. But some won't respond to the word. You know, people say, well, we don't need all that today. We've got the Bible now. Well, there's people with hard hearts today that without some of these signs, they're not going to get in. God wants them.
Yes, sir.
He wants them to get into the things, get into the kingdom. And so that's why he does these things. Hallelujah. I mean, if the word gets out, you know, that for the last three services, I mean, there's been a cloud in the church down there in Spirit of Faith. And every person that walks in the building gets healed. You talk about getting people's attention. That'll do more for getting people to church than all the advertising in the world. I'm not against advertising. I don't mean I'm against advertising, but you know what I'm talking about. I can taste it. Praise God. See, God has to contact some people from the outside through their physical senses and get their attention that way. You see that all through the history of revivals. There was something always that was a demonstration of the power of God. And so God wants to do that. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And to be honest with you, there's even some spirit-filled Christians that haven't developed their spirit, you know, spiritually. And to be honest with you, God's trying to get their attention from the inside, but they're not paying attention. You know what I'm talking about? And he wants to do some things to get their attention. Well, praise the Lord. And he sometimes has to do it from the outside. Now, God's plan is for us to go from glory to glory. The new birth to the baptism of the Holy Ghost to the manifestation of the glory. He wants us to keep on going. Many Christians have come in, well, everybody's born again is a Christian. They've come into the kingdom of God, but they don't want to go any further. That's never been me. I've never understood people like that. I want to keep on going further. I see things in the Bible and I think, well, we need to have that, you know. What do we need to do? I've never been satisfied. I don't mean that I'm not satisfied with where we are, but I've never been content to just stay there is what I'm saying. I don't mean I just live discontented. You understand what I'm talking about. And so you have a house and you come through the door, but you don't stand there. Like when you go home tonight, you're not going to just come in through the door. You got a garage door between the house and the garage, right? You're going to come in, drive your car in, and then come through the door, close the door behind you. Are you going to just stand there all night and try to sleep? No, you're going to come on in, probably going to grab a snack in the kitchen, get you a drink of water. You're going to go into the bathroom, take advantage of everything in there. You're going to go into the bed and take advantage of what's in the bedroom. Isn't that right? You're going to come on in and go into other rooms. Well, that's what Christians are supposed to do. This spiritual house that God has brought us into has many realms, many blessings, but you have to keep progressing beyond just the door. You can't just stand at the door and say, thank God I'm in, thank God I'm in. If you come to my house, we got a bed for you. You don't have to sleep up against the door. Amen. So that's always been me. I always wanted to come on in. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. There's so much more. Can you say amen? Praise God. Now, Can we just go a little bit further tonight? We're not too far from leaving here. I mean, from stopping preaching. The thing that we want to do is get to fullness. The Bible talks about let's go over to Ephesians and let's maybe just look at this before we wrap this up. Ephesians chapter number 3. We need to spend some time on what we can do to see more of this. And I'm out of time tonight, so we'll have to pick this up. But as a result of doing, following Bible directions, we'll look at some of these as we get time. We can get to this here in Ephesians 3:19. Now this is in the Amplified. That you may be filled, this is starting in kind of second part of the verse, that you might be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God, and have the richest measure of the divine presence, and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God Himself. Now I want you to read that word, notice that word holy, not H-O-L, holy, fully filled. That tells us we can be partially filled. Now here he's not talking about individually, he's talking about the body of Christ. Be a local body filled, and he said flooded with God Himself. A flood carries things away, carries some things to where you are and other things away. Hallelujah. That's what we're shooting for. He's talking about the glory of God in fullness. Amen. So these things can happen by degrees. Brother Hagin said he pastored 12 churches. He pastored 12 years. I think maybe 4 or 5 churches. I don't know exactly. But he said the last one he pastored for 4 years. He said that was the longest one he pastored. And he said, you can see, because we churches across the nation have various degrees of blessing and power and anointing and moves of the Spirit. See, they're partly full, or maybe not full at all, or whatever. But God wants us to get to the place where we don't just have the end of it. See, if they really preach the new birth, you know those churches that don't preach the new birth, they're not even born again. But I'm talking about people that are born again. If they preach the new birth, people get saved. They got a measure of the anointing, because the anointing's on the inside of them. But they don't know anything about the anointing coming on them, or the baptism of the Holy Ghost, or speaking in other tongues, or anything like what we're talking about. I mean, the cloud rolling in. But see, there's things we can do, and you can see a little bit of it there in 2 Chronicles 5, where it says they became as one to make one sound in praising and thanking the Lord, that suddenly this cloud filled the house. And we'll get into that a little bit. But there's things that God wants to teach us about unity and about reverence. That we need to get to some of this. I didn't know I was going to. It's already time to quit, you know. But there's things if we could learn about some things about reverence, it would bring this in more often. But anyway, Brother Hagin said he pastored for 12 years. The last church he pastored for 4 years. He said that was the only church, that last church, he had a little more time with them. You know, 4 years is longer than the other ones. But he said that was the only church that really, during all that those years of pastoring, that he was able to get to the place of unity and worship, where they had the move of the Spirit in the area of this corporate anointing. He said that's the only one. They had some tremendous moves of God, he said. Well, I used to think it was easier to get people in unity. I've discovered it's hard to get people in. It's easier to get a smaller group in unity. You know, and we're not in the big church. We ought to be able to get to this with just a little bit more understanding and possibly a little more hunger and a little more expectation and a little more reverence. There's times I get the anointing to prophesy on me, and people, they just ho-hum and yawn and go out and never bring it up again, never mention it, never, you know, and I'm like, well, that's not necessarily going to cause God to want to keep moving. You know, we need to prize these things. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Well, we're on our way. I believe we ought to learn a little bit more about how to get this house built. There's in the Old Testament, it was a physical building. But in the New Testament, it's a spiritual house. Remember, you all as lively stones. 1 Peter 2:5. You all as lively stones build up a spiritual house. Actually, he called us lively stones individually, but when we come together, we form a spiritual house corporately. And see why? Because God wants to fill that with his glory.
Yes.
Right.
Amen.
So we want to learn some more and grow some more. That's why we're having these meetings, I believe. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Well, thank God for the word.
Amen.
Thank God for the word.
Amen.
Let's stand up tonight. Thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God, thank God.
Hallelujah.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Well, I just don't know. You know, if God really gets to moving, I mean, you know, might not get out of church very early. I mean, you know, I just, I got to get this, got to do that. Well, that's part of the problem. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God for, I don't think really in the fullness of this you really care. What was that? Was that a GEM conference weekend? Where what that was? Just seems like maybe back in January or something. Maybe November. What was Monday night prayer? Where the Spirit of God moved? How late were we here? 11 o'clock? Something like that. Some of you. I left. I don't know how long some of you stayed. Hallelujah. And I noticed a lot of you didn't really care. When it's really God, you don't really care. When it's man trying to, you know, everybody's like, oh, how long is this going to go on? And how many of you know we ought not hold people just to hold them? But I'm telling you, God, we need to be open and not just be in a hurry sometimes. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, what about this? What about that? God will take care of all that. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Well, I got to eat, yeah. And if you get in the glory, Moses was in the glory for 40 days and didn't eat. I don't think we really understand what we're talking about sometimes when we talk about the glory of God. This will suspend a lot of natural things. Praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Well, we just got a little bit of foundation laid tonight. We'll pick this up. Amen. Anybody hungry for more? Now, I'll tell you something. I've tasted. Remember the Bible said, taste and see the Lord is good. You've had a taste. But I've had a taste for longer than you. And I got a hunger that's deep for more of what God has for us. And so if that's not you, you might want to change real quick. Glory.
Hallelujah.
The Old Testament says, in your house everyone shall speak of your glory. That's how you get it. Keep talking about the glory. 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 And I tell you something else that'll happen in the glory of God. We're going to go through, I don't know how long we're going to go and preach it on the glory. You have to get through it all. But in the glory of God, in the manifest, say manifest.
Manifest.
See, God's presence is everywhere all the time, but it's not always in manifestation. What we're talking about is it coming into manifestation. But in that glory, things that oppress people just boogies.
Yes.
It just leaves. Even demons will leave. They'll try to get the person to leave, and the person says, no, I'm staying. Then the demon says, all right, then I'm out of here. They can't stand the presence of God. Ah!
Hallelujah!
Praise God! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Coco. Coco, come up here. Amen. You can play. I don't know why. I just looked back there and I had an unction. You need something. Thank God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't know what it is. Do you know what it is you need? Yes, you do. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Satan, you take your hand off of that area of her life, in that home, in the name of Jesus. 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 Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Well, you got anything to sing? Where's the team? If you do, good. If you don't, good. We'll just see here. What you got? Glory to God. Praise be to God. Praise be to God.
For a mighty move of God, Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost, Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God. Lord, I'm hungry for a mighty move of God. Lord, I'm thirsty. Pour out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God.
I'm hungry.
Lord, I'm hungry.
Oh, we're hungry, Lord.
For a mighty move of God.
Oh, we're thirsty.
Lord, I'm thirsty.
Pour
out your Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God. Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God.
Oh, I want to see.
Lord, I want to see the hand of God move mightily inside of me. Lord, I'm hungry for a move of God.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, I don't know what it is, Alexis. Maybe it's Alexis and Noah, but it seems like God's talking to me about you, Alexis. Something you've been seeking God on for an answer, direction, some sort of, what do I do about this situation? I don't know what it is. I just sense in my spirit. And so now I get in agreement. Oh, my. There you go. There you go. Now the Spirit of God comes on you and shows you exactly what to do. Don't look to your mind. Your mind will try to, what is it? What is it? No, just let it float up out of your spirit. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Praise 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 you, Father. Do you know what I'm talking about? Okay, good, good. Just as long as you do, because I don't. Amen. If it's about whether he gets to sleep in the doghouse or not, the answer is no. Hallelujah. Ha, ha, ha. Now, for you two. I just heard the line. This happened last time. I just, the Lord wants to ask you a question right in front of the whole church, I guess. I just heard and I knew it had to do with having more children. I'm not saying what the answer is. I'm saying this is what the question came. Are you done? I'm not saying you are or you aren't. I'm just saying, are you in agreement about it? Yeah, good. Yeah. All right. It's not my business. I'm just... Amen. Just so you know. All right, good. You know, too? Just well, she knows. She seems to know, and you seem to like, uh-huh, I think, uh-huh. You know. Okay, all right. All right. There's no right or wrong answer here. You don't have to do it. Just praise the Lord. I mean, just go get fixed for all I care. I don't really know. Just... He embarrassed them in front of the whole church last time. You remember that? Yeah, I guess it's just to get rid of their pride, I guess. Just... Amen. Now I see. Oh, now I know why. I hear the Spirit of God saying, be assured, be settled, and don't ever question it, because there's going to be a test. There's going to be a test, and He wants you to settle it so that when that test comes, you don't decide something different. Does that make sense? Amen. All right. Sometimes your head doesn't know what's going on, but the Spirit of God just enlightened our head. Praise God. Amen. 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 We don't follow circumstances. We follow the leading of the Spirit. Praise God. That's good. I'm so glad for the Holy Ghost, because my mind's going, what on earth am I asking them that for? Hallelujah. Aren't they cute? You should kiss her right in front of the whole church. Oh. All right, don't start it right now. You can... Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. My. Wow, praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Johanna and your children, come down here. I looked back there and I heard the Spirit of God say, because you've pressed and you've pressed, and whenever other things tried to get you to go a different direction, you pressed and you continue to press. And you won't say no to the plan or yes to the pressure. So tonight, you're going through a door.
Glory.
Some release from the press of the enemy against you into the next part of God's plan for the family, into greater victory. Greater victory in your mind, in your body. Now that anointing that heals the sick, Father, I minister that to her body and that to her chemical balance in the name of Jesus. That restoration in the name of Jesus. Fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Burning that out. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. So Johanna, do more laughing. You understand?
Yes.
Do more laughing. When you feel like crying, you just start laughing.
Amen.
Ha, ha, ha.
Ha, ha, ha.
Because the past is gone, you know.
Amen. That's right.
Gone.
It's gone.
Gone.
It's
gone.
Amen.
Ha ha ha. Hallelujah. And don't think in your mind, don't think, well, I've wasted time. I let things in my life. I wasted time and I'll never be able to get back. That's a lie. In the glory, there is no time. And that's how you can redeem the time. Spend more time in His presence, in that glory, just rejoicing and letting him get you back in the right place. Ha ha ha. You can't do it, but He can. In His presence, He can just... I remember one time, mind if I come up here and it's a little better up here. When I was a teenager, I opened the door to the enemy in my mind. I was tormented, a lot of stuff. And then I got saved. Well, I was already saved, but I got filled with the Holy Ghost and went to Bible school and just was being washed. My mind was being renewed and a lot of freedom and so forth. And I came, we were traveling for a number of years, and then we came here to pastor. And I don't know if it was the first year or something, somewhere right in there. I was laying on my couch one day. We just had this rental house that we moved here and moved into. I was laying on my couch one day, and I was just worshiping God. Pastor Debbie went to get groceries or something. I'm just worshiping God, spending time in His presence, meditating on His word. And all of a sudden, it was like something came off of my mind. It was like, the best way I know how to describe it is clarity came. Just, it was like something lifted off. And I started weeping because it was the anointing came on me when that happened. It's like a new freedom in my thought life. I mean, I was free in my thought life, but it was, I don't know how to describe it other than just a veil, some veil or something came off. And I started crying and I started, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I didn't even know what it was. I was just receiving it. And whenever it lifted a little bit, I said, Lord, what was that? He said, those years where you opened the door to the devil in your mind, you know, and the torment and the vexation, he said, there was even some changes in the chemicals and stuff. And he said, I just fixed the last part of that.
Praise God. Praise God.
See, all that time I had progressed and gotten a lot of that out, but there was still a little bit of it there. I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
You know, you live with something for 12, 15 years, you don't even realize it.
Yeah.
But in His presence, in that anointing came on me and just, it broke the yoke. So that's what He's talking about whenever He says, don't let the devil tell you, you know, you've lost all this time and so forth. In His presence, He can restore.
Praise God.
Restore.
Yes.
Amen. And one thing He can restore is lost time.
Yes. Praise God.
Because that's, He said, redeeming the time.
Yes.
This is how you do it. You spend time in His presence.
Praise God. Amen.
I want in on that. Come, can I get in on that? Yeah. Woo! Glory! Yeah! Go ahead. Yeah! Woo! Glory! Yeah! Glory to God! Praise God! Praise God! Amen! Praise God! Isn't God good? Man, He's so good. He's so good. The devil wants us to take loss, but we don't take loss. Amen.
Amen.